Have you stopped cobra milking? What? Have you stopped cobra milking? That is a ridiculous question, isn't it? I found it online when I went looking for an alternative to the question, have you stopped beating your wife? Because domestic violence is no laughing matter. And I spent quite a while looking for another similar question. And the only thing I could come up with was cobra milking. It is a thing, milking snakes of their poison. So, have you stopped cobra milking? Yes or no? It's a trick question. If you say yes, it sounds like you have stopped, but you used to milk cobras. If you say no, it sounds like you still do. It's a trick question. Jesus faced a trick question in the passage I've just read from Matthew's Gospel. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Was a very clever trick question designed to trap Jesus. The Jews hated paying taxes to Caesar. They hated it because it was a sign of their oppression under Roman occupation. And they hated the particular Roman coin they had to pay it with. I have here a first century Roman coin. I'm going to pass around for you all to have a look at. Some of you have seen it before, and some of you have heard me say before, it came from a reputable source, and there's a zillionth chance that it was actually held by Jesus. I know, not very likely, but I'm going to pass it round for you to have a look. The coin had two very offensive things on it, a picture of Caesar's face and an inscription which described Caesar as divine, as a god. So the Jews really loathed this tax, as did the Pharisees, most of whom hated Jesus too, as he challenged them for their hypocrisy. So the Pharisees were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, as were the Herodians. They got together to trap Jesus with their trick question. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus said yes, it was right to pay taxes to Caesar, the crowd would be up in arms, probably stone him, for they hated paying the tax. If Jesus said no, it wasn't right to pay taxes to Caesar, he would have been charged for rebellion, which carried the death penalty. So they'd get rid of Jesus, whatever he said, yes or no. Lose, lose. A very clever trick question. So how does Jesus answer? You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? He lets them know he sees their motives, their cunning plan. Then he asks them to show him the coin they use for paying the tax. I quote Bishop Tom Wright's description of what happens next. Jesus takes the coin from them like someone being handed a dead rat. He looks at it with utter distaste. Whose is this image? And who is it who gives himself an inscription like that? He's already shown what he thinks of Caesar, but he hasn't said anything that could get him into trouble. Caesar's, they reply. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Very clever. He's met their challenge with a sharp challenge in return. Had they really given their full allegiance to God? He has outwitted them, and they know it. They slink off. So what did Jesus think was owed to Caesar and what to God? What was Caesar's kingdom and what was and is God's kingdom? Caesar's kingdom was plain for all to see. Where he ruled, what he ruled, how he ruled, what the laws were, including about taxes. Caesar's kingdom was obvious and bitterly resented. But God's kingdom, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke so much about, is very different. God's kingdom can be everywhere through all space and time, because God's kingdom is wherever what God wants to happen does happen. That's where he's king. Whenever anything in all creation, including us, live as God intends, live as he designed, that's living in God's kingdom. Living under his kingship, under his rule, recognizing his kingship and rule, living his love and justice and peace. And just as Caesar's kingdom meant certain things were owed to him, and still are, in that we too have a responsibility to give to those who govern what they legitimately ask for to fulfill our responsibilities as citizens, so too God's kingdom means certain things are owed to God. Everything. God's laws are for how to live the whole of life. Later in this chapter of Matthew, Jesus says to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that's the best possible way to live. That's why Jesus talked about living in the kingdom of God in terms of abundant life, fullness of life, in terms of light and joy and celebration. There really isn't any sensible reason to resist living in the kingdom of God, apart from our will. All too often, we simply want to do what we want rather than what God wants. But in the struggle we often experience to bring our wills under God's rule, the struggle to render unto God, to surrender unto God, let's remember that unlike Caesar's kingdom, God's kingdom or rule is glorious. For God is perfectly just and fair. In fact, he's merciful and gracious. His majesty, his power, his goodness, and his love for us are limitless, literally beyond our wildest dreams. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," because he knew that we can trust that his will, his kingdom rule, is the best possible way for us to live. A few days after this episode with the Roman coin, Jesus was killed. He gave up his life for us. And we're about to celebrate, yes, celebrate in Holy Communion, the fact that by his death on the cross, we are forgiven. Jesus literally gave up everything for us, and so we owe him everything. Our lives, our jobs, our relationships, our time, our money, our homes, literally everything. We can't fool or trick God any more than the Pharisees and Herodians could trick Jesus. He knew their real motives, and he knows ours. God knows exactly what we're up to. He knows where he's in charge and where he's not. And his forgiveness, his grace, and his love are ready and waiting, available to welcome us as we come and bring our whole lives under his kingship. So let's do that. And now let's pray. O God, great King above all kings, help us to see and surrender to your wonderful kingdom rule today and every day. May your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Amen.